Joy to be with you this morning. Let's take our Bibles over to 1 Corinthians if you want to be in chapter 15. We'll get started there in just a moment. We want to welcome all of our guests today. Thank you for choosing to be out and to study from God's Word with us. So this morning, our title is, as announced on Wednesday, Laboring with the Grace of God. And I've been really excited to be able to look at this lesson and to think a little bit about God's grace and the way it relates to the kind of work and service that we each participate in. Get that online. Well, if I can put my own passcode in. There we go. Okay, so I want us to look at the grace of God, but I want to start with a giant amen. Okay, because Eric's lesson just a few weeks ago on God's grace was fantastic. Tracy and I got in the car, and Tracy said, I think that's my favorite Eric lesson so far. And we're just like nodding in agreement because he did such an awesome job in coming to this text in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, showing us the motivation that comes from God's grace, as well as Paul's humility about being an apostle and about his labors. So I want to make it really clear, I'm not trying to take anything away from his lesson. He and I actually have gone back and forth for months, kind of saying, no, I want to do that lesson. No, I want to do that lesson. No, I want to do that lesson. No. There's so much in this text. It was awesome. But he only touched on a little bit the direction that I was going to go. So he knows that I'm preaching this morning. I want us to look at another aspect of grace that is brought up in this verse. And that is, what about God's grace and our effort? Now, so many times when we think about the term grace, we immediately think of salvation, that we've been saved by grace. Yes, that's true. And yes, there's even a debate about grace and effort when it comes to salvation. That's some of what Calvinism deals with. But what I actually want to talk about is, how do grace and effort interact with each other in our daily lives? Because what Paul is saying in this text is, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me did not prove vain, but I labored, there's his effort, even more than all of them, which seems to be a reference to the other apostles, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. That's interesting, that he would be able to speak of his effort this way, as well as give God's grace a lot of credit. This just deserves some exploration. And I hope that this is going to be beneficial for us in our study this morning. I'll give you a quick reminder that when I'm using the word grace in the lesson this morning, I'm thinking of more than just salvation. And I'm even thinking more than just the kindness that God shows us. When the New Testament uses this Greek word, grace, we first find it mentioning a characteristic. Like Colossians 4 verse 6, let your speech always be with grace. Sometimes we go to someone's house and we say, look how gracious that hostess was. And the very way that they served us or made us feel at home and welcome, there was graciousness. There was a characteristic of that person. Or in this text, there is grace that is characteristic of someone's speaking. And that's really important because obviously God is gracious. God himself has this characteristic that makes us admire him, that makes us drawn to him. Wow, what a gracious God. So it starts with just his characteristic, but it also includes a favorable outlook. Because he is gracious, he looks down at his people, especially his humble servants, and says, oh, I can work with that. I want to bless that. I want to use that. We think about Mary being selected to be the mother of Jesus on earth. The angel comes and says, greetings, favored one, or gracious one. It's this idea that it's the same root word for grace, that he looks upon Mary, or he looks upon Paul, or he looks upon me and you with grace. But the word grace also, of course, carries this idea of an act of kindness. You've been saved by grace. That would be the biggest gift and the biggest act of God's grace, but not the only. And I think what Paul's saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10 is, I've been able to see lots of times that God acted with great grace and great kindness towards me in all of these labors. The times that he was discouraged and he says, I hardly knew what to do next. But then Titus came along and he gave me a good report. and I just felt renewed and strengthened. There were times that God showed many different acts of kindness to Paul. So grace really carries all three of these ideas. And in our key text this morning, Paul is saying, I labored. There was my effort. But I know that my effort would have amounted to nothing were it not for God's grace, not only in my salvation, but God's grace in my daily life. God's grace was there with me in those labors. What does he mean about this division and this distinction? Well, you can actually stay here in the book of 1 Corinthians, and you see that he speaks about this cooperation between his effort and God's grace in multiple places. He says, I was a servant, chapter 3, verse 5, but the Lord gave opportunity. If it were not for the Lord's opportunity for me to preach, if it were not for the Lord's opportunity for you to hear, right? He's thinking about all the times you went to the synagogues. I was a servant, but really those opportunities, those came from God. And I planted and Apollos watered. We did our labors, but all of the planting in the world without God's sunshine, right? Without God's rain, without God's grace here, there would be no growth. So he gives the glory and the credit back to God for every good thing that was produced in his labors. You go just a few verses later in chapter 3. He said, I'm God's fellow worker. But where is he working? I mean, is he like floating around in the vacuum of space trying to get work done? No, he's working in God's field. He's working on God's building. And he specifically says in chapter 3, that work, the very fact that there was a field to labor in, the fact that there was a building that needed to be constructed, that is according to the grace of God. Yes, I was a builder, I laid a foundation, but even the foundation, he says, that didn't come from me. It wasn't like Paul was so smart that he just had all these great ideas. That foundation was Jesus Christ. And without the gospel of Jesus Christ, none of his labors would have amounted to anything. The big point I'm trying to drive home with the way Paul's talking about grace is this. Laboring with the grace of God. That's the only way to succeed. That's true in the Old Testament. It's true in the New Testament. That is true in our daily lives. The service that we're trying to provide as a Bible class teacher, as a deacon, as an elder, as an evangelist, as a friend, as a brother or sister in Christ. The only way any of those labors make a difference, the only way they really succeed is because we labor with the grace of God. And I think this becomes especially clear. Don't you like my stick man? I think this becomes especially clear if you'll think about the battles in the Promised Land. Take your Bibles back, please, to the book of Numbers. Come with me to Numbers chapter 13. How were the Israelites, this unskilled, not really military trained nation, how were they going to be successful in coming into the Promised Land and defeating all of these fortified cities where they were, vastly outgunned? Well, if we would look at Numbers chapter 13, read with me verse 30. The first thing we see is that when the spies bring back the report, Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "We should, by all means, go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it." When you just read verse 30, you get that Caleb is willing to put forth some effort. Let's go do this. We will win. Verse 31. But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against this people. They are too strong for us." Skip down to the next chapter. Chapter 14 and verse 8. So then Joshua and Caleb speak again. "But if the Lord is pleased with us, He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey." They're willing to put forth the effort, but they're saying, no, the reason we will win is because God's grace will labor with us. God's grace, He will give us this land which flows with the milk and honey. Verse 9, "Only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not fear the people of the land. They will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear." But all the congregation said to stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent of meeting to the sons of Israel. What do we learn from this passage about laboring and effort with God's grace? Well, don't you see this? It was not supposed to be a hands-off response. They were not going to just sit there on the banks of the Jordan River and assume that God would send enough wind and lightning that they never lifted a finger in conquering the promised land. When we think about this, I would tell you our effort was absolutely expected. And this is really, really significant. In fact, this is kind of the whole reason for this lesson this morning. I understand that in terms of salvation, there's all these debates about grace and effort and grace and effort and grace and effort. And I would expect almost every member here that you know these things. Like, you know that we're supposed to be baptized. You know about a living faith the way James talks about it. And we have like a filter when we hear messages that try to minimize baptism or something like that. But what about when you turn on your country radio and you hear Jesus take the wheel? And it's very hands-off. Or you hop on Pinterest and you see one of those cute little things that says, let go and let God. See, there is this mentality in our culture that thinks of God's grace as a hands-off issue. Just take the wheel. Just let go and let God. And I'll give a caveat. I'm not trying to say we never wait on the Lord. Sometimes we absolutely wait on the Lord. Like, I'm not moving until you make it clear what the right choice is. But once the right choice has been revealed in the Holy Scriptures, I'm ready to move. Because God expects us to respond in cooperation with His grace. Paul was responding in cooperation with, laboring with the grace of God. Their effort, as Joshua and Caleb make it so clear here, it was expected. And guys, that's hard for us to put together. Because we say, well, but God is so powerful. And God is so gracious. And we all love to sing the song, Amazing Grace. Couldn't He just do it all on His own? Well, yes, He could. Because laboring with grace, it's the only way to succeed. But what we need to see is that we're supposed to be working with Him. And even when we do respond, even when we do put forth our effort is not what makes the difference. Like Paul saying, I planted, Apollos watered, but God made the difference. God gave the increase. Look forward in chapter 14. Remember what happened after they rejected Joshua and Caleb? In chapter 14, there in verse 39, they said, okay, we get it, we made a mistake, we'll go forth now. Look what the scripture says. Moses spoke these words to all the sons of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And in the morning, however, they rose up early, they went up on the ridge of the hill country, saying, here we are. We indeed sinned, but we will go up to the place which the Lord has promised. Like, okay, we're ready to put forth our effort now. But Moses said, why are you transgressing the commandment of the Lord when it will not succeed? Do not go up, or you will be struck down before your enemies, for the Lord is not among you. Do you see how even when they're willing to put forth their effort, if they're laboring but they don't have the grace of God, it's not going to succeed. Verse 43, for the Amalekite and the Canaanites will be there in front of you. You will fall by the sword inasmuch as you have turned back from following the Lord, and the Lord will not be with you. But they went up heedlessly to the ridge of the hill country. Neither the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord nor Moses left the camp. And the Amalekites and the Canaanites who lived in that hill country came down and struck them and beat them down as far as Hormah. They failed miserably. Did they put forth their effort? Well, sure they did. But not with respect for God. Not with the grace of God. And that's a great reminder for us. Whether it's in resisting sin or in spreading the gospel, I don't want to just put forth effort without the grace of God. I want to be doing this in cooperation with the grace of God. We come forward just a little bit forward. Joshua chapter 6, verse 15 through 20. God's grace is with them. And it's awesome, right? They come in and they go against Jericho. We see that God causes the walls to fall down. What did they do? Well, they were in total cooperation. God, you want me to march around silently? I will march around silently. God, you want me to blow a horn? Yes, I will blow a horn. My point here is that instead of a Jesus take the wheel mentality, What our mentality should be is, Jesus, tell me which way to turn. You say left, I go left. You say right, I go right. You say hit the brakes, I hit the brakes. You say get out of the car, I get out of the car. Jesus, I will do whatever you want. I will respond to you in any and every way. It doesn't have to make sense to me. It doesn't have to be comfortable. It doesn't have to be easy. I'm with you. That was the heart that they had when they had victory at Jericho. And that is the heart that we're seeing in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If we're going to be this steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, it's this active cooperation. It's a yielding. It's a submission to God. And this really matters. Because here's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing, you know what? It really just all boils down to self-control. That whole Church of Christ thing, that whole Bible thing, it's just all about self-control. And if you're not a person with really high self-control, you're not really welcome there, or you're not really going to succeed. Or I'm hearing the, oh, I just got to try a little harder, try a little harder, try a little harder mindset. That's not quite it. No matter how hard they tried to go into the promised land, if God's grace was not with them, it was never going to work. And I want it to be abundantly clear to every person here that in our labors, it's not just trying a little harder, and it's not just a matter of self-control. Those are important things, but they are not enough without the grace of God. We are laboring with the grace of God. So please don't go into your battles all alone. Secondly, it really matters because I don't want you to quit. I don't want you to lose hope or lose faith in God because you've put forth all of this personal effort and it doesn't seem to be going as you expected. There is victory and there is success in our labors when we are cooperating with the grace of God. And that can be in these times where we're resisting sin or in times of sharing the gospel. But don't throw in the towel here. In fact, kind of the point B to that is don't give up when a few of the battles look different or go differently than we expected. Paul knew he was laboring with the grace of God, but did that mean that every single seed he sowed always bore a hundredfold of fruitfulness? No. Paul knew he was laboring with the grace of God, kind of like Elijah did. But not everybody repented at the preaching of Elijah. Or Jeremiah did, and not everybody repented at the preaching of Jeremiah. And Paul writes specifically in his epistles, don't grow weary, don't lose heart. So don't think that you are failing to rely on the grace of God just because every battle doesn't go exactly as you would like it to. We need to appreciate this cooperation. So I want to leave you with three big things that I think will charge us up for the week ahead. And I've really debated to share this, but I guess I'll go ahead and share it. So I came across this great quote. And apparently there's this old quote, and it says that humor is like a frog. You can dissect it, but you kill it in the process. Because if you have to explain a joke to somebody, right, you kind of kill the punchline in the process. In the same way, grace is like a frog. I can dissect God's grace for you, but you don't get to see it in action if we do that. So hopefully I didn't do too much detail to dissect it, but I just want to end with that leap. The grace in action. And I want to take you back to chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians to do that. Because Paul has just these three phrases that to me are just radically amazing. By God's grace, I am what I am. That's what Paul says in chapter 15, verse 10. By God's grace, I am what I am. When you look at that little phrase, what is he saying about God's grace in action when we're laboring with God's grace? He's telling us that it both redirects and redefines us. We had our scripture reading this morning about Lazarus. Lazarus was given such incredible grace, God's favor, that he was raised from the dead. And from then on, he's going to be, hey, that guy that Jesus raised from the dead. Like, no matter what else you might know about Lazarus, you're not just going to say, oh, that's the dude with two sisters. You're going to say, that's the guy that was given this incredible gift. And what Paul says in chapter 15, verse 10 is, we've been given God's grace. And now I am what I am. I was a persecutor, and now I'm an apostle. I was like this zealous Jew, but now I'm a zealous Christian. I've been redirected towards new tasks and new labors, but more than just redirected, actually redefined, because the gift is so big, I'll never be the same. It's just a little bit, and I hate to use this one, but it's a little bit like a lottery winner. Like, they've gotten a gift that is so big that now we literally have a new title or identifier for them. That's a lottery winner. Guys, we're Christians. That means we've been given grace so big that nothing is the same anymore. We're moving in a new direction. So to overdo the R's, you're redirected, you're redefined, you have new roles. You know, your role as a Christian, your role as a spouse, your role as a grandparent, your role as a friend, all of those things are gifts of God's grace. And as we pursue those roles in godly ways, we are laboring with God's grace. I am what I am. That is a powerful statement Paul is making. But more than that, by God's grace, I'm not gonna let it prove vain. If I have a second chance, third chance, 100th chance, millionth chance, if I have another chance, I'm not going to waste that. I'm not going to turn my back on this incredible grace. Instead, that's what I want to tap into. That's what I want to use every single day. Yes, with extreme gratitude of my salvation, but also just knowing that God is with me in this. And that He's going to open those doors at the right time in the right ways to allow me to be that planting and watering kind of person, to labor in His field and to work on His building. I have a chance to do the most significant work in life. That's the work I'm going to give my focus and my attention to. And the final thing that He says there in chapter 15 and verse 10, that I labored more than all of them, but it was God's grace with me. Paul was not in a vacuum. There were resources that he had access to only because of God's grace. He could preach and talk until his voice just gave out. He could love and serve until blood flowed from his knuckles and never save a soul. Because not one human being has the power to take away sin. But God does. And so in response to the preaching and the love and the service of Paul, God was taking away sin here and taking away sin there and transforming this family and transforming this individual. And he was doing so much amazing work. God was, because of his grace. When we think of Isaiah 53, which we so often come back to for the Lord's Supper, and we look at all that Jesus sacrificed and all that Jesus did for us, He has taken the burden of our sin. That is something that none of us can do for another person. But we can point people to the true Savior. And it's not just these resources, the gospel message. It's the results here. Again, like going to the promised land, they were never going to knock down the walls of Jericho on their own. But there are results that come about because of God's grace. What did the verse say? It's by the grace of God, on a daily basis, I am what I am. And it's the grace of God, as Eric so awesomely told us 2 weeks ago, that does not prove vain. It motivates us, it humbles us, it keeps us going. And when we put forth our effort in cooperation with God, we don't get the glory because we're not the one that's really making the difference. He is the one that brings victory. He is the one that brings success. And He is the one that we want to praise. Would you pray with me this morning? Awesome Father, every time we look into your graciousness, we are amazed. We are humbled, Lord, to think of your participation in each day of our lives. We are humbled, Heavenly Father, to know that we would be lost like the prodigal child if it were not for your grace. And we want to labor not alone or under our own effort, but we want to labor in total cooperation with you, yielding ourselves and appreciating all that you have provided. We, Heavenly Father, depend completely on your resources, and we know the results are to your glory and to your praise. Help us, dear God, to be steadfast and immovable and always abounding in your work. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for your attention and your letting me go into more detail on this particular topic. I hope that you are impressed with the grace of God this morning. If there's someone here that knows their need for that great gift of salvation, that you would come and confess your faith in Jesus Christ and turn away from sin and be buried with Christ in baptism to receive the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. If we can help you with that commitment, then just please come forward as we stand and sing.
Amen.